And weather's been quite nice. We're happy about that and quite pleased. I know the wind was blowing, but I tend to like that. I told a friend of ours earlier, I said, I found a new playlist at night to help me go to sleep. It's called The Wind. Amen. I'm loving it. Only problem is my wife doesn't. Amen. She doesn't like hearing the wind, and that keeps her awake, but helps me sleep. Mark chapter 10, if you will. We don't need to stand. We've already stood for the reading of the Word of God tonight in honor of this evening. I want to bring a thought to you tonight. Titled this message, the words that we read earlier that Bartimaeus said to the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might receive my sight. That I might receive my sight. So Mark chapter 10 is where we are. Look in verse 46 with me. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat in the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. But Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Father, again, we ask you, Lord, to bless the service this evening, to bless our time together one with another. We pray, Lord, bring honor and glory to the name of Christ tonight. I pray that you'd help us out with the Scriptures this evening. And at the very least, Lord, I pray that every soul would be encouraged tonight to do that which is right before thine eyes. Lord, I pray that you would prick hearts and touch souls, dear Lord. I pray that you would touch minds, dear God, and draw them into attention to your word this evening. We pray that you would make a difference in the lives of the people tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, we do ask. Amen and amen. So many of us, guys, understand and know the story of blind Bartimaeus, if we will, this beggar that sat along the highway of the famed city of Jericho. You've heard probably little hymns about him. If you grew up in Sunday school class, you probably studied him and had maybe the puppets or the velvet stickers or a cartoon or something along the line about Bartimaeus. He was positioned in a great place, guys, of much foot traffic. He purposely put himself there, a place where all that was entering and departing the city would have to pass by. It was here that he could beg for daily sustenance, guys. Daily rations, money, even water perhaps, or even clothes, who knows. This method that Bartimaeus was participating in, this task that he was doing, the trials that he went through and the work that he was doing every single day, sat on that highway, begging for food, raiment, water, whatever it may have been, was his plan for survival. It was his plan for survival. And you say, well, why? Why was this his plan? Well, because he was blind. In those days, he couldn't do anything else. He could not see. And even though our day, our time, our era that we live in now, in the age of which we are, we have afforded ways around those who are physically cannot see. We've allowed them, we've enabled them through technology and through other types of forms of works, whether it be guide dogs and all these things, to function very well in society. But it wasn't like that 2 millennia ago. If you could not see, if you were blind 2 millennia ago, then you had to fend for yourself unless you had someone to take care of you. You had to beg on the street. You had to do other things. And guys, we find that this man was a commoner there, sat there in a busy, busy place. He knew what he was doing. You didn't find him off in the corner somewhere hiding. He wasn't ashamed, I tell you. He didn't have enough shame in his life or pride in his life to go hiding and not beg. He knew he had to beg for food if he was going to have a meal. He had to beg for money if he was going to have any money. He had to beg for clothing if he was going to have any clothing. That's what his daily life consisted of. Something that none of us in here more than likely can even understand. But otherwise, we know very little of Bartimaeus' life. We know very little of Bartimaeus' situation. We neither know how old he is or how long he was without sight. We don't know how he lost his sight. For all we know, he could have been born without sight. For all we know, he could have been a very successful man and then lost his sight and lost every single thing. We don't know. We do know this. We know he's blind. That simple. We don't know, guys. We don't know that if he had any family. We don't know if he had a former occupation. We don't even know anything of brothers or sisters or even friends. We read nothing about that. What we see is Bartimaeus is sat on this highway side, all alone, by himself, begging for survival. One thing, again, we know for sure. I say again, we know he is blind, and we know he's begging to live. There's a great similitude, guys, if you stop and you look at this blind beggar on the highway side there. There's a great similitude with this beggar and the people in our world today. And I mean everyone. We have a functioning, operational world today. That's what we have. First world problems, guys, is not being able to get to Starbucks on time to beat the rush hour traffic. That's what a first world problem is. First world problems today is not getting a second helping of dessert. That's what first world problem. First world problems today is not having a 15th outfit to wear in the month. That's a first world problem. Amen? In this day and age that Bartimaeus was living, wasn't a first world problem. And yet, even we still find a great similarities in his life with those that are living here in the world we live today. We have a functioning and operational world. People go through life, they pay their bills, they're having families, they're learning in school, etc., etc. They're climbing the promotional ladder at work. I mean, they're doing all of these things. But my question to you tonight is this. Are they really living in the world today? Let me ask you that question. Are you living? You're here alive. You're breathing. You're going to eat later on. You're going to drink something later on. You're in fellowship. You're going to go to sleep tonight, hopefully. And you're going to get up tomorrow and do it all over again. But are you living this evening? We can see clearly, guys, in the society we live in today, that people have all kinds of life. But are they really living life to the fullest? Bartimaeus was alive, but was he living? Bartimaeus had life in him, but was he really living? Bartimaeus was making a living on that street side. He was surviving. But was he truly living? I believe in all of my heart tonight, guys, that we as Christians this evening, I think we bring so much more issues in our life than we need to. We get caught up with so many different things. We have guys today, and the preachers are not exempt. As a matter of fact, they're probably the worst. They're bringing things into their own life, troubles and struggles and issues, trying to make something, make issues in their life when they should just be busy about the Lord's work. Amen. Same thing in all of our lives. Are you living life tonight? Are you enjoying life? Or are you enduring it? Far be it from me, guys, to judge anyone on how they live their life. But I'll say this. If you're not living life tonight, you're doing it by your own choice. If you've got a blind man on the streets of Jericho here, who's begging for food, begging for raiment, begging for water, doing the best he can, that's survival. That's enduring. We should never have to endure the life that God has given us in this world today. He didn't save your soul for you to go through this world enduring it. My friend, you need to understand that tonight, because you may be alive. You may have life in you. You may be making a living. But my question to you tonight and to the rest of this world, are you truly living? This man had one thing that was holding him back. He had one thing that we know of. Of the very few things that we do know him, he had one thing that was holding him back, and that was the fact that he could not see. But even though he could not see physically, he knew, he at least knew that he could not see. And this was the obstacle holding him from being alive to truly living his life. We have a world today filled with people where millions of people are alive, millions of people have life, billions of people are living, but they're missing the big picture of truly living, of truly knowing what the Lord has for you. The difference between them and Bartimaeus is at least he knew. And even though he was blind physically, I believe he could see a whole lot better than many of us in our life tonight. I want you to notice with me first this evening, look here with me at the distant hearing. The distant hearing. If there's a similitude, a similarity, if you will, of what we find in our world today compared to blind Bartimaeus, is we find this point right here. There's a distant hearing that Bartimaeus has. He says there in the first part of verse 47, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, stay with me here on this point. Here he is. I want you to picture him down on his haunches, begging for food, begging for money, hearing the footsteps come by, and he's asking money, food, water, clothes, whatever he's doing. I don't know how he begged, but let's just say that's how he did it. And he sat there, every footstep that he heard, he was begging from him. And then all of a sudden, he hears that Jesus is down the way. Somehow, some way, I don't know. I mean, he never met him before. He couldn't have recognized his voice. Somehow, some way, the commotion made him understand that Jesus of Nazareth had come to him. He had a knowledge of who Jesus was. He knew his name. Now, just imagine what he had heard about Jesus Christ prior to Jesus rolling up in there to Jericho. I mean, imagine the stories, the tales. Imagine what had come through those streets of Jericho of this famous guy, Jesus of Nazareth, and what he was doing. And then all of a sudden, he rolls up into town, man. I mean, Bartimaeus would have heard things like, of the feedings that he had done. He had heard about the healings, the miracles, and such like, and all these things. But Bartimaeus did not know Jesus. But there was a distant hearing of him. Beloved, our society is much the same today. Listen carefully here. Our society is much the same. They have heard of who Jesus is. They've heard His name. 9 times out of 10, you know where they've heard His name? Because they've used it or heard somebody else use it as a profane word. It amazes me how people can be self-proclaimed atheists, not believe in God, not believe in creation, not believe in salvation, not believe in any of those things, and the very next words out of their mouth is GD this and JC that. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in God, stop using the name as a byproduct for profanity. Can I get an amen right there? Now, I'm just trying to tell you tonight, guys. We live in a world today that has a distant hearing of who Jesus Christ is, a society. They hear His name called out by comedians. They see it in movies as a form of mockery. They've even heard of the miracles. They've heard of the cross and the resurrection. But it does them no good because they're blind, unseeing their own need. Bartimaeus was a blind man, sat along the highway side, every day begging to receive his daily needs. Bartimaeus wasn't trying to receive a week's load. He wasn't trying to receive a month's load. Bartimaeus wasn't down there on that road on a Monday trying to fill his portion of goods up for the next year. You know what he was doing? He was just trying to get the next meal. A blind man on the side of the street, begging for his daily needs. Day by day, he was living, hour by hour, moment by moment, minute by minute. But he wasn't truly living. Because he had settled in his mind, up until this point when he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth rolled into town, he had settled in his mind that the highway was the only place for him. It was the only place he would ever be. You know why, guys? Because he was blind. Millions today are doing the same thing. Millions of people in our world today have settled into their current lifestyle. They are blind to what could be in their days, both Christians and lost people alike. They are blinded to what Jesus Christ wants for them in their life, only to use His name as a curse word. This is what Paul said. Paul said, brethren, he said, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Verse 18, he says this, for many of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is in their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, there is a world of filth out there today. They've heard of Jesus, but they don't know Him. They settle into their own life thinking this is the best it's going to be. This is all it's going to be. And they're going to live that life until the day they die. And they're going to run off of that cliff into the devil's hell. And for one reason, because their eyes are never opened to who and what they really are and who and what could really help them. I ask you guys, are you living tonight? Or are you just alive? Do you have life tonight but not living? That's the question I give everyone. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you're born again, then your eternal life is secure. But I'm here to tell you here, you should not be enduring the life that God has given you. You shouldn't just be on bare survival. And I'm not talking about financial blessings. I'm talking about tonight. Taking for granted a gift that Christ has given you to live a life for Him in this world today. Bartimaeus couldn't see a thing. He's blind as a bat. There is a distant knowledge of who Jesus was. And beloved, we have people in our lives every single day. They don't know who Jesus is. They got a distant knowledge of His name. And whether it's a comedic show or whether it's a curse word, they've heard that name of Jesus, but it's still that same name that is above all names in heaven. It's above all names. It is still that same name that wants to remove that blindness in their life and give them life everlasting. So there's a distant hearing of Jesus in our world today, just like we find in Bartimaeus' time. We also find here with Bartimaeus, guys, that there's a desired help. There's a desired help. Verse 47 tells us, here it says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, watch this, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Beloved, this day would be like no other for this blind man. This blind beggar knew that if he was ever to get off that highway and begin living his life that he could truly live, it was going to be through the man that was called Jesus, and it was only going to be through the man called Jesus. No one, and I mean no one, had offered to help this beggar. No one, and I mean no one, could help this beggar in the way that Jesus could. But the biggest caveat here that is the difference in the world, the people that we see in our world today, was Bartimaeus knew it. Bartimaeus knew that he was blind. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus could help him. Bartimaeus knew that if he was going to live a life and receive life and have those blinders taken off, it was going to be by that one man, Jesus Christ. He was going to have to get in front of him. He was going to have to beg him. He was going to have to get near him and know who he is to receive the blessing of living the life that God had planned for him. You see, he was blind, but he sure can see. I tell you what, he could see well enough to know that he was helpless. And he could see well enough that without the touch of the Master, he'd never get off that highway. Herein is the biggest obstacle in our day today. I asked you guys many months ago in Bible study time, I said, what's the biggest obstacle you find of witnessing to people? And one of the great answers Darius said was preconceived ideas of who and what God is. And that's a form of blindness in our world today. Our society has afforded everyone to have life, but not truly live. Our society has afforded people to depend on the government, but never consider God. Our society has too many people that will trust in their own ability and their own talent, but never consider Jesus. Our society today has too many people who are blind to the fact that they need help from one source more than anyone or anything else, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus may have been blind as a bat. He may have been a beggar. He may not have had anything at all in his life. He may have had no financial blessings in his life. He may have had one garment of clothing. He may have gotten one meal a day. But I'll tell you what, he could see better than 9 out of 10 people in our world today. He knew who could help him. He knew that he couldn't help himself. So what's the difference between the beggar on the side of the highway and the successful souls walking about today? Even though he could not see, he at least knew that he couldn't. He was blind physically, but he knew that he knew what was holding him down, and he knew what he needed, and he knew who could help. You say, well, preacher, that's just too simple. Christ has never been complex. If you're confused or if you find complexity in the Holy Scriptures, you're not getting that from Jesus Christ. You're not getting that from God. You're definitely not getting that from an AV 1611. You're getting that from the one that's keeping you blind in general. The Bible tells me that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Jesus Christ has never been complex. If you're finding complexity, you're not getting that, guys, from God. I'm telling you right now that Bartimaeus was blind as a bat, and I understand it, but he knew what he needed to know because he knew he was blind, he knew that he was helpless, and he knew who could help him. Guys, if the people in our world and our life today could take those blinders off, if they could at very least understand they're blind, they're helpless, but find out who can help them, truly know that, like Bartimaeus did, they would stop at nothing to get a hold of Jesus Christ. So there's a distant hearing. There's a distant hearing, guys. There's a desired help from Jesus. But I want you to notice the adversary here. I want you to notice the devil's hindrance. And this is one of the things that we fight on a daily basis. Look at verse 48. It says there, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Beloved, there is a constant battle raging in our world today, a battle of blindness in our days today. Guys, listen, God doesn't want you to be blind. He's not trying to hide things from you. He's not trying to keep you in the dark. As a matter of fact, He pulled us from darkness into life is what He did through the shed blood of the cross of Calvary. That's what He did. So He doesn't want you to stay in darkness. But there's a devil's hindrance that we find. The Bible tells me, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. And how is it hid? Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, watch this, should shine unto them. That's that. If someone's blind in the world today, spiritually speaking, they're not blinded by God. God wants you taken out of that darkness. He wants to pull you out of it. He wants that glorious light of Jesus Christ to shine into your life. The devil doesn't care if you make millions of pounds a year. He doesn't care if you feel like you are living your best life now. He only cares to keep you blind to one thing, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't even care if you hear of Jesus. Furthermore, He doesn't care if you desire His help. He only cares to keep you blind. He cares to hinder the saving knowledge of who and what Jesus Christ is and how His great love wherewith He loved us will bring riches to a soul that this world cannot offer. That's all He cares about. He doesn't care if you use Jesus' name as a byproduct. He doesn't care if you mock out Christians. He doesn't care about any of those things. He doesn't care how successful you become in this life. He only cares to keep you blind from the gospel. Let me stop here. I'm going to add a little subnote. In our minds, when I say people are blinded from what the gospel is, I guarantee you, you've got an image, you've got a mindset right now of someone who's a God-hating, Jesus Christ-denying person who despises God and everything He stands for. That's what you're picturing. But I'm here to tell you right now, the devil's blindness in this world today doesn't start and stop with those who just deny Jesus Christ. Okay? Guys, I'm going to make a statement here. A soul doesn't die and go to hell because they deny Jesus Christ. I know it's not commonly heard. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. A soul's going to go to hell because they're a sinner. A person never has to hear the name. You don't have to have two sins to die and go to hell, just one. And you're naturally born a sinner. Now, we've been taught that, well, a person's got to deny Jesus Christ and go to hell. That's not true. What about the millions of people who have never heard? 67% of the entire world has never heard the name of Jesus Christ since A.D. 30. 30 million people will die this year alone having never heard the name of Jesus. You mean to tell me they're going to heaven? No, they're not. I'm saying that to say this. The blindness in part is not just to the God haters. That's Israel. But the blindness that the devil brings into this world today to the gospel is not just to the God haters, but it's also to those who have created an idol of God. Confirmation. No pope, no priest, no person can confirm you into heaven. Only the Holy Spirit of God saves your soul, seals you on the day of redemption. Amen? Right. You're not going to go through a class and be confirmed and say, okay, you've met the criteria, now you can go to heaven. That's a blindness that the devil's brought into this world today. The idea that people were pre-selected and predestined to go to heaven, as Calvinism teaches in this world today, that right there is a blindness that Satan has brought into this world to convince you, oh, you're part of the chosen frozen. Well, if you are, then you're good. You don't have to make a confession. As a matter of fact, New Calvinism even teaches today, New Calvinism teaches that a person never even has to accept Jesus Christ. If they're part of the elect, they're going to go anyway because Christ died for all sin, therefore He died for their rejection. That's lunacy. You know what that is? That's the devil's doctrine. That's a damnable heresy, the Bible says. Because it's keeping people blind to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're blind through the God of this world. So guys, when we talk about people being blind, don't just picture that person that hates God and what running around with the inverted cross and they're a Satanist. Don't just picture that person. It's anyone who has believed a lie and another gospel. The devil's at the root of that. Satan, the god of this world, is at the root of that. But it is the battle of the ages. It's the battle. We read Genesis 3 this morning in our morning sermon of Sarah. And we mentioned that about when Satan says, thou shalt not surely die, denying the Word of God, getting her to deny the Word of God at that present moment there at the tree. I'm here to tell you, it's been a battle from the beginning. It is a battle of the ages. It is trying to keep people blind from the truth. Paul warns us of this. Paul warns us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. My friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ can offer blessings and love and riches that this world can never offer itself. But the God of this world wants to keep you blind. So there's the devil's hindrance. Here's Bartimaeus on this side of the road. Bartimaeus is like, man, I hear they said Jesus of Nazareth has come to town. Here he is. Thou son of David, have mercy. He's pleading. What happens? Next thing you know, the devil's people step up and say, be quiet. Keep him down. He's got 3 seconds till Jesus gets out of the way. If he'll just be quiet, Jesus will never hear him. And we've got one more soul destined for a devil's hell. That's blindness. That's the devil's hindrance. There's a distant hearing. There's a desired help. There is the devil's hindrance. Beloved, I'm here to tell you tonight, lastly, Jesus Christ does not desire for us to remain, or for you to remain, or this world to remain blind. He does not desire for you to be held in darkness. I want you to notice finally with me tonight the delivering hands of our Savior. Look at verses 49 through 52. It says, and Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what would thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Watch this next part. And followed Jesus in the way. Followed Jesus in the way. Do you notice the pattern that just happened there on that road? Just such a small little story out of all the events, such a small record that's been given. Out of all the events in the Holy Scriptures, out of all the events that we find with Jesus Christ, out of all the things that have transpired, just this small little passage of Scripture. We find this pattern, first off, in verse 48. In the latter part it says, but he cried the more a great deal. We find conviction now. We find conviction. Why is he convicted? Because he knows who he is. He knows what he is, and he knows what he needs. He can see better than most people in our life today. As a matter of fact, he probably can see better than most Christians in the world today, because he knows what he needs and he knows who can help him. So we find conviction here. But he cried out the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. From that conviction in his heart and him crying out to Jesus Christ, we find next a calling. No man can come unto the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws him, the Bible tells us. Verse 49a says, And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Thirdly, we find a coming. This is the obedience, if you will, in verse 50. It says, and he casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Can I tell you something, guys? There's a repentance factor that comes in when you come to Jesus Christ. Here's that blind beggar on the side of that street begging for food, begging for water, begging for money day after day after day after day. And he's probably got that one garment. That's that garment of that old man. And he sat there and he's got it wrapped. It's tattered, it's torn, it's ripped, it's dirty, it's filthy. And that's what he was known for. Listen, people could see blind Bartimaeus. Maybe he had a tear or a patch or something that just marked him. They knew who it was. But when Jesus Christ called him on the backside of that conviction, boy, he came to him. His obedience, and you know what he did? He took that old garment off. And he says, you know what? I'm going to leave that right here. And I'm going to come to Christ. That's the key that you need to understand. There's a repentance factor when you come to Christ. When you're convicted of who and what you are and what you've done, and you know the only one's going to help you, you don't drag that baggage as best you can to you. You turn your back on it. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect and sinless and perfection and any. That doesn't mean any of that. What it does mean, there needs to be a willingness to leave that old garment behind. There's conviction, there's a calling, there's a coming. And then we find there's a confession, verse 51. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I mean, this confession, what will thou have me to do? He said, what do you want? And you notice that when the confession of Christ was made, salvation was immediate. It was immediate. He wasn't saved, sanctified, and didn't fill with the Holy Spirit. He was saved, he was made whole immediately. And how was he made whole? Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know what you find? You find a continuing. Guys, if you ever want to see the marks of true conversion in a person's life, is they continue what they started. Verse 52 says, and immediately he received sight. There he is, cleansed. Then he followed Jesus in the way. Follow Jesus in the way. If a difference is going to be made in our life tonight, if a difference is going to be made in the life of those that are in our vicinity, in our circles, it's going to be made through them seeing your life and continuing therein.
Can I tell you that Christianity, guys, is not bondage? Christianity and serving God and going to church, it's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. It's something when it's taken away from you, you'll wish you could go back and do it 4 times, 10 times over. We live in a world today that lives a life of convenience. We live a world today that's living in a life that they can, look, man, they just want to do what they can do, how they can do it, whenever they want to do it, and where they want to do it. And if church fits into their schedule, then they'll go to church. But blind Bartimaeus knew he was blind. And he knew who gave him his sight. And therefore he followed him. He continued serving him. It reminds me in Acts chapter 11 where they were first called Christians. And it says that the disciples were first called Christians. It wasn't that they got saved and all of a sudden they got that title, Christian, as you find today. As a matter of fact, in our country right here alone, when the Catholic Church moved in and began to take things over, especially through the Saxon rule throughout the land, under the Roman rule first, and then when the Saxons invaded, especially throughout England, they forced people to convert to what they called Christianity. But their conversion only meant that they were baptized and they confessed Jesus Christ. They didn't have to believe Him. They couldn't read. They couldn't do anything. But they wanted to add to the roll. You know what they wanted to do, preacher? They wanted to confirm. They wanted to report back to Rome. Oh, we got more numbers. We've taken control. I'm here to tell you tonight, guys, that a true conversion is seen by a continuing in their life. Acts chapter 11, it was the disciples. It was the saved, born-again people that were first called Christians. Why? Because they learned the way of Jesus Christ. They follow Him. Barnabas followed Jesus in the way. He knew what and who helped him. Therefore, he followed Him everywhere. He followed Him in the way. And beloved, this is the role of a disciple. This is the continuing of the way of Christ, thus living a life as a Christian. And my friend, this is true living. So you may be here tonight, you may be alive. You may be here tonight, you may have life. You might have blood pumping through your veins. I hope that you do. You may be breathing. You may be, hey, all of those things. But my question to you is, are you living tonight? Are you living a life that Christ has given you? Do you recognize what Christ did for you and who He is and the help that you needed? If you'll ever come to that conclusion, if you'll ever get that true realization that we were helpless, blind, sat on the side of the street, begging for life and surviving in tattered clothes before Christ met us, no matter who you were, that's where you were. And Christ met us and what He did for us, once you realize that this evening, that's when you'll begin truly living in the life that Christ has given you on this side of glory. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and time to preach Your Word. I pray that You'd make a difference in the lives of everyone that's heard this message. I pray this evening, Lord, that rather than just living a life of survival and living a life of endurement, Lord, I pray this evening that we would quit enduring and start enjoying. I pray that we would develop an excitement and exhilaration, Father, for who and what we are, the children of the living God, that we are the body of the living Christ, Father, that we would develop this heart and soul and this mindset and live a life glorifying the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, knowing what He pulled us from, knowing who He changed us from being, understanding the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all of these things tonight. Amen. And amen. I trust and pray God was good to you tonight, teaching and preaching His Word.